This morning, we're featuring some thrilling tales from a bygone era, from the days when men were men and women were women. These stories are collected in the Black Lizard Big Book of Pulps, the best crime stories from the pulps during their golden age. Here's how one begins, Stag Party, published in 1933. Stirring his coffee, McPhee, Blue Shield Detective Agency, thought he'd seen the girl somewhere. She had dull red hair, she had a subtle red mouth, and experienced eyes with green lights in them. That was plenty. But over her provocative beauty lay a hard sophistication as brightly polished as a new nickel.
They just don't write them like that anymore.
No, they don't. Otto Penzler edited the Big Book of Pulps, and he owns the Mysterious Bookshop in New York City. Good morning.
Good morning.
You've divided this massive collection into three categories: crime fighters, villains, and dames. Those would be the three key ingredients of all pulp fiction.
That's largely true. A pulp story without a detective and obviously somebody for him to do battle with is unthinkable. And I can't remember reading a pulp story that didn't have a dame, either a good girl or a bad girl.
Here's a perfect line. I didn't like his face, and I told him so.
Carol John Daly.
From the story The Third Murderer. Now, Carol John Daly is not a name that jumps out at us the way, say, Dashiell Hammett or Raymond Chandler would today. But it turns out he has quite a place in the history of pulp.
In a way, he has the most important place. He created the hard-boiled private eye character. And then he followed that with writing more than one story about the same character. So he created the first series private detective in literature.
This era, the 1920s, 30s, and 40s, it gave rise to this form. Why?
I think it was really the beginning of a different kind of writing. The kind of writing in the world of literature, the world of books, that everyone had been familiar with was Henry James and long sentences, long paragraphs. And then Ernest Hemingway came along and Dashiell Hammett came along and they started to write short, clipped, quick sentences that didn't require lots and lots of description. And the pulps provided the perfect springboard for that kind of literary tone.
You've got the book with you, right?
I do.
Read for us a favorite Dashiell Hammett moment in there.
There are a lot of paragraphs in Hammett that stand out, but generally you need the whole concept of a longer piece because so much is told in dialogue. Let me give you just a little bit in the story, The Creeping Siamese. He opened the door briskly and then hesitated, standing in the doorway, holding the door open, turning the knob back and forth with one bony hand. There was no indecision in his face. It was ugly and grim, and its expression was the expression of a man who is remembering something disagreeable. Don't you like that?
Mm.
You get the look of that face without needing four paragraphs to describe what the guy actually looked like.
All of this pulp fiction rested on one other character, and that, for the most part, was the city, with a place that they were in. Raymond Chandler, of course, that was Los Angeles. And in one of his stories in this book, Red Wind, he begins the story with weather, some very quintessential aspect of Southern California. Would you read that first paragraph for us?
I'm glad you asked that because it's my favorite story in this entire book. There was a desert wind blowing that night. It was one of those hot, dry Santa Anas that come down through the mountain passes and curl your hair and make your nerves jump and your skin itch. On nights like that, every booze party ends in a fight. Meek little wives feel the edge of the carving knife and study their husband's neck. Anything can happen. I have many friends in California who, every time there are fires and or the Santa Anas blow, they refer to Red Wind. They say it's a Red Wind night here. You know, I'm not going to turn my back on my wife.
Put the knives away.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but back, you know, it could be another city. Fog in San Francisco, rainy streets of New York. It seems that the city has to evoke a sense of menace.
Well, big cities do evoke a sense of menace. Remember, it was the time of the Great Depression for much of this, a time where a lot of people didn't have a lot of money and gangsters flourished during the Prohibition era. And all of that contributed to a sense of menace in the city. But it's only in a few cities. It's a very rare story indeed in the pulps where you would find something happening in Cincinnati or Indianapolis. It's New York, San Francisco, Chicago, and Los Angeles. Apart from that, the rest of the country doesn't really exist.
Now, there's a word for women that gets used in the pulps along with, you know, girls and dolls and dames. And the word is very unfamiliar to us now. It's frails.
I love the word frail. It's not a word that I would use, although I have used doll, much to the disgust of my wife.
We'll put frail in a conversation because I'm not sure if it's...
It's just referring to a woman. The frail walked into the room, or the blonde frail sat at the desk. Skirt is used frequently, too, to mean a woman.
What was the target audience? Who were they writing for?
The pulps that I'm using in this book, the crime mystery pulps, were written for men, generally younger men, generally blue collar. You know, the covers were very alluring. Almost inevitably, there was a beautiful young woman, partially exposed, and frequently in a torn sweater or dress and looking menaced, and here was the hero coming to save her. Well, this was a very attractive image for a young guy at the newsstand figuring out what he was going to read.
Thank you very much for joining us.
This was fun. Thank you a lot.
Otto Penzler is editor of the Black Lizard Big Book of Pulps. Read Stag Party, Beginning to End, the story that launched an influential detective series at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.